believe in God, go ahead and shift gears. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe the glorious church we are, we serve a mighty God. And He's not slack concerning His promises. And He don't hold back not one good thing to those that walk after Him. Walk upright, doing things His way. He don't hold back no good thing. I was talking to some folk the other day, and I was telling them, because, you know, people out there believe the lies of the devil. I'm talking about God's people. You know, God's trying to teach us something through sickness and disease or doors shutting or whatever. And that enemy, he just jumps right on that. He jumps right on it and starts belittling God in their thoughts and in their, you know, and they hunt stuff to confirm it, praise God. But how many know, I told them, I said, you know what, God don't put anything on anybody. And you know, that people they experience stuff, so they're like, well, you know, this happened to me. No, the Bible says all good things come from God. All bad things don't come from God. Right? No matter what people experience, you know, or what they've went through, or what good Christian Susie went through and it happened to her and blah, blah, blah. You cannot believe God and have His promises and walk in His anointing and His power believing lies. Lies bind you, but the truth sets you free. Jesus said, if you'll continue in My word, He didn't mean just hear it on Sunday and that's the end of it. Continue in My word, and continuing in the word of God. I was going through a financial trial here, you know, a little while ago, and, you know, facing some little things, praise the Lord, you know. And all of a sudden I got up on the job and I'm thinking about the Lord. The Bible says He will keep me and you in perfect peace. Whose mind? Not everybody, not just because you're a Christian. He said whose mind just stayed on Him, and it says because you're trusting Me. He said you're because He trusts in Me. See, when you keep your heart and your mind fixed on, you're trusting in Him. Well, I got up, you know, and I started walking out of that door. It was hot. I'm sweaty. How many knows the Holy Spirit's with you? He's in you. He going to minister to you if you're listening. If your mind is stayed on the Lord, the enemy, he don't have no advantage over you. Come on, somebody. He can't do nothing with somebody that is fixed on the Lord. But the Lord spoke to me up in my spirit. I heard it come up out of my belly, up in my spirit. And He says, you know I daily load you up with benefits, even the God of your salvation, don't you? And I said, yes, sir, you do, sir. Yes, and I went out there, prayed God, and I started saying, glory to God, daily. See, when the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you that's not you, then you get hold of it and you do something with it. You don't just say, yes, yes, amen, hurry up, God. Now, So I walked out to my service truck and I'm telling the Lord, thank you, Lord. You daily load me up with benefits. The God of my salvation, thank you, Lord. And then I started saying, thank you, Lord. The blessings on me. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow. Praise God. I started telling the Lord, I'm talking to the Lord about this stuff. I'm telling Him how good He is. I'm acknowledging Him, praise God, hallelujah. Then you know what? Things begin to change. Things begin to happen. Things begin to rock. Things begin to roll. See, that's the way it is in your life when you are fixed on the Lord. I was going to preach on the devil. The Bible says that the devil is roaming to and fro, seeking, but I just can't hardly do it. The Bible says that me and you are not ignorant of His devices. That's all I need to know. Praise God. I know what Jesus told me in the Word of God and told you in the Word of God. And if you don't believe it, then you're going to be subject to the powers of darkness. You're going to be subject to them. Jesus said He give us power over all. Somebody say all. The power of the devil. We're not trying to get it. We're not trying to get victory over him. He said He give us power over all the power of the devil. So stop paying attention to him. Watch for him. The Bible says be sober, be vigilant. That word sober means to be sober-minded, to be thinking clear. Don't be down here, you know, just it reminds me of Gideon when God told him how to choose the ones that was going to help him win. He said, go down and drink. He said, go down. And as they drink, he said, pay attention to them. He said, and the ones that are watching when they drink, I mean, they're drinking. Some of them went down there, probably laid down. I mean, they're just put their nose on the water and everything. Thirsty, man. They come out of that desert. I don't know. You know, or got down there with both hands. I don't know, probably. And they ain't even aware of what's going on. But they were select men that went down there. These were sober people. That's what Paul's talking about, sober over there. It says to be sound, to be serious, to be. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, you're not as funny as you used to be, Brother Weston, because I used to kick, you know, and cut up and all of that stuff, you know. Nothing wrong with that. There's a time for that, you know. And I said, well, I said, Paul said when I was a child, I acted like one. I said, but when I became a man, I put away those foolish, childish stuff. I said, because I realized that I've got to grow up and grow spiritually and be serious, more than I am goofing off. Nothing wrong with goofing off. But there's a time for it. Because our adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro. He's looking for me to do that. He wants me to be distracted. He wants me distracted with the economy. He wants me distracted with my body. People go around, you know, and they talk about how their joints ache, and oh my God, hope it don't rain. Gonna be some arthritis going on, and all of that. You know, I don't partake in that stuff. Now I know, you know, I mean, that's what set apart means. He says, "Come ye out from among the world and be separate, be different." Believe me. Believe for healing. Believe that the rain, I mean, you know, when all of the pollen starts, I mean, you hear people whining from county to county. I'm talking about everywhere I go in the springtime, I hear them complaining, and my sinuses is bad, and my sinuses is bad. Like that, and when I hear that, praise God, because that seed comes. See, the Bible says, don't give no place to the devil. I'll come back, I'll get my truck or get away from them. I won't say nothing to them, you know. Say what you want. Eat what you want. Drink what you want. Be filled with what you want. The Bible's full of instruction for me as a Christian that I'm not filled with this kind of stuff. I'm not filled with fear. I'm not filled with discouragement and oppression. I ain't been oppressed since I backslid. You can't be oppressed if your mind is stayed on Him and you building your heart, trusting in Him. But I'll get in my truck and I'll say, woo, glory to God, I done been tested 28 things. Thank you, Lord, for pollen. I don't know what it's good for, but you did it for some reason. If there was no pollen, there would be no blooms on the trees. I don't know. There's a reason for it. I know that sounds like, you know, grammar, but it's not. That's major. My confession, the Bible says, as I have believed, therefore we speak, Paul said. He didn't say like everybody's saying, y'all just say it too. He did. I mean, you know, the children of Israel, they couldn't even bring a curse on the children of Israel. And so he told them, go get them to curse themselves. That's the only way you can curse what God's blessed. You can't curse it. You have to curse yourself. You have to do it yourself, you know, because the Bible says that we are blessed going in. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed is the fruit of our body, right? Blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm
blessed. Mac was telling me, man, how he's operating over there to nursing. I believe he's supposed to be going to that nursing home. He's blessing those people, and God's blessing him and doing a lot of things. He comes over here, hears the word of God, gets equipped, gets strong, goes over there. They're going in laying hands on them now, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Going late, but what Mac was telling me a little bit about that, and he telling me how it felt, and you know, and all that, and I said, that's the anointing you're under. you're under an anointing. We just talked about the anointing for Sunday and last Sunday and Sunday before last, Sunday school. The anointing, it is the yoke-breaking power of God. Now, the enemy's coming up, and we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not let Satan slip up anything on you. You hear me? He will warn you. He'll bring it to your. He'll bring it to you, and all of that. One time, there was somebody in here, and they're working in ministry, and I don't know their hearts. I know their actions. You know, at church a little bit. Well, but God sees the heart of man. God sees the intentions. God sees all of that. You know, God told me, and I'm talking about, you know, the Lord reveals things that could potentially harm you or bring you into captivity or something. He'll bring things to your attention. The Holy Spirit will. And so I'm in the shower, and God spoke to me, and God said, let this other one do that ministry. That's always been challenging. If you're in ministry here and I come to you and God tells me let somebody else do that or whatever, don't act like a baby and get all upset. Come on, somebody. We're the soldiers. We're not babies. We're born again. I mean, we're getting cars and we're getting raises and we're not babies. We're engaging. We're only engaging and going forward because we've been following the Lord and obeying the Lord and humble towards the Lord. The Bible says, humble ourselves into the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in due season. I'm giving you scripture to back up what I'm saying. Well, I'm in the shower and God told me to do that. I come to church. And I'm excited that this other guy's going to get to, God's letting him do something. You know what I'm saying? That excites me when I see God using you and raising you up and giving you opportunity. And if you sit around, you know, oh, I don't know, it's going to put more on me. Now you're giving Satan advantage. It ain't going to put more on you. It's going to get you freer. The will of God frees you. The doing what God wants frees you, and Satan knows it. Satan knows willing and obedient eats the good. Satan knows it. You know, the only thing he can do is get you to thinking wrong, get you to thinking about yourself and what it's going to put on you and how you ain't going to get to go eat on Friday. I know all that. You know, I mean, Mac has to fight it. I don't get to go to church up there. It bothers him at times, you know. He ain't here on Sunday morning. He's told me about it, and I told him, it's good. I'm good with it. I feel good in here about it, so it's okay with God, and that's the way it is. So don't let it bother you. That's what I would tell him, you know, telling him. But anyways, I came to church, and I told that person, praise God, you know, hey, the Lord spoke to me this morning. We're gonna let so-and-so do that. When I did, I mean, it brought out the heart. It brought out what was in that heart, and everybody in this place saw that. I mean, it was very, very, look, if you get in a wrong spirit, you think we don't know it, you can come with your hair combed and all that, but inside your eyes and the way you don't react to us like you used to, we know that spirit. We know that's not you. We know that's a wrong spirit, and it causes us to have to come up and guard ourselves. Because that wrong spirit's not going to get mayonnaise smeared on us. Right? The anointing's smeared on. Teresa brought it out. Well, that lack of anointing smeared on too if we let it. It'll cake on you too, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All this ain't planned. I'm led by the Spirit tonight, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? It revealed that. But I left and I felt awful. I mean, I felt, man, I wished I hadn't did it. I just wished I hadn't did that, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I feel like I don't qualify for Pastor C. God, I'm hurting people, you know, and all of that. That was in my young pastorship. I'm way above that now because I didn't quit. And I went to the Lord and I told the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, maybe I missed you. I didn't. And God told me, He said, I told you to do that. He said, see, the enemy wants advantage in that church. He said, and I did that because I see the heart of man. He said, and I did that to reveal, so you could see that spirit. You could see that heart. It's very clear to you, that heart. Well, I just told you a while ago, the Bible says we are not ignorant of His devices. Now somebody, I mean, you know, just like you, you're going to experience ungodly people in your life. You are going to experience Christians that are not really, really pursuing God, and they have wrong thinking and wrong, they'll do wrong things, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. But you've got to get the Word of God on it, where the Bible says that me and you, according to Ephesians 6:12, we are not in battle with people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power. And you're going to have to learn as a Christian, praise God, to have your feelings hurt and nobody ever know it, because you are a faith man or a faith woman. You're going to, people have asked me, you know, when I'm going through major trials, it ain't because I'm super spiritual. It's because I've got a few years in my belt. I've got some experience with God, and I've got some experience with the Word of God that I didn't have when I was having to do the Word of God, when it didn't feel like I could do the Word of God. I felt like quitting, but I didn't quit, and I did the Word of God as best I could, and then I experienced God. Well, it wasn't too long, praise the Lord, till everything that I done offended that person. Everything that I did, every choice that I made, and I was trying to promote them, promote their ministry. I mean, this church spent a lot of money promoting their dreams and their desires for their people, you know, over in Mexico and different places. You know, and so we're, you know, and then because they would. Now God give them opportunity to repent. The Bible says you got to forgive, right? It's not an option. If we want God, I mean, it is an option. We have to make a choice. But if we want God, we want more of God and more of His provision, more of His supply, more garage doors because I'm leaving my business, what am my life, my livelihood, well, then I've got to be walking in the love of God. I've got to walk in the love of God. And you've got to walk in the love of God and have to learn. Some of us has got to learn, and I'm still learning. You know, how to deal with ungodly. I mean, I got chewed out the other day, and I mean, I just had wisdom coming up, you know, and I was just, you know, this lady, she just let me have it. I was in their living room, preached a little sermon, and then, it, you know, got her upset. So when she got done chewing me out a little bit and telling me this and what I ought to do and how to run my business and blah, 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 when she got done, she said, and I'm going to end my sermon with this. And I thought, you ain't even mentioned Jesus, baby. And so at the end, I told her, I said, you know what? I said, you're probably really right about all of that. I said, you know, and maybe I will consider. I didn't tell her I'm going to do nothing you said. Because Satan ain't going to get an advantage over my words. I'm careful about what I'm saying. I'm careful about what I hear. That Jesus said to be careful what you hear. Be attentive to what you hear. And then it says the measure you use of the Word of God will be measured back to you. Inside will come to you, praise the Lord. Well, you know what? At the end, I thought, she's totally wrong. She's totally wrong. Blah, 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 you know. But when I was at her house, she wasn't nothing but a complainer and complainer and complainer. And then I sat there and I said, well, do you want me to do the job? This is what do you... Well, I mean, I make me sick to know that I got to spend that kind of money. I said, yeah, you see that truck out there that I just drove up in? I said, I'm going down the road last week. I said, and all of a sudden, poof, I said, my torque converter exploded and shot stuff all through my transmission, took it to the transmission shop. I said, and it was $3,800. I said, it didn't make me sick. I said, I took it up there and had it fixed. I said, and that's where you are. That's where you are. So then, you know, she was a teacher, you know, and back then she done retired and all of that stuff. See, look, take life wherever you at. What I mean, that's an everyday occurrence that I've really run into people. You know, not every day, but I mean, people like that, you know. Complaining about the weather, complaining 30 years ago, had to spend $30. I'm like, 30 years ago? Good Lord. It's been everything all my life. And then, you know, And I said, well, you know, I stood up. I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm serving Jesus. You could have heard a pin drop. I said, you know, we can gripe about all this stuff. I said, but we, the people, have pushed God out of stuff, out of our house, out of our lives. I said, and then all this chaos, all of this women can marry women. I said, this come out of the dark world. I said, and now they want to teach my kids. I said, my son, we took him out of school and started homeschooling him because there was a cuss word in the mandatory book that he had to read at school. And Teresa went to the school and said, see, this is fighting the good fight of faith. And I mean laying hold of the things of God rather than the world. Goes down there and tells them, my son's not reading this. Well, it's mandatory. It's not my fault. She wasn't mad at him or anything. So we pulled him out of school. But God, y'all ain't going to teach him that junk. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but praise God, we was that serious with his spiritual life and his little young mind and all of that stuff. You know, so I told that lady, I said, you know what? I said, you always got to go, well, this administration, I said, somebody voted them in. I said, a lot of Christians may have voted them in. I said, because they're blinded by the God of this world. I said, because of a man's speech, because of a man's not a politician, and he ain't been in there, and the rest of them have, all of that, praise God. See, we as God's people, I mean, even in the Bible, they go down there and they go anoint a man king, Saul does. He said, you got any more? Oh, yeah, we got David out there, yeah, a little ruddy, you know, snotty nose probably. He didn't qualify, Johnny. You don't qualify. I don't qualify. He qualified us. He anointed us. He called us. He chose us. He redeemed us. He brought us out. Hallelujah. He set us apart. We're set apart. And we got to walk set apart. Hallelujah. And that devil can't do nothing with the church that's really on the move. And you're part, we're members of the body of Christ. And if you're after God, pray God. And you, I mean, look, I don't go around resisting Satan. I just tell him, try it, Jack. I used to rebuke him every morning. Now I'm like, you can't even get in here. Ain't no need in rebuking somebody that's done plead. Because I'm submitted to God, I resist him, and the Bible says he has to go. Simple, praise the Lord. Well, you know, I was telling that lady, I said, you know, it's very clear that's what he's talking about. In 1 Peter over there, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Don't be all confused about what's going on in this world and in your life and when garage doors ain't coming in and when I'm losing jobs left and right and giving prices and what's wrong and have I done something wrong? That's baby stuff. If I was doing something wrong, God would have done convicted me before that started happening. Right? He would have convinced me, praise God. He would have got it to me. He's done it before and caused me not to fail, caused me not to go under. And when I turned and repented, and he delivered me. Repenting is still good today. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I took a pen out of the bank the other day. They tell you, get them. They're in a cup, you know. And I didn't ask for that pen, not the other day, a couple, 3 weeks ago, whatever. And I left and I got in there and that pen was talking to me. It wasn't a pen. I'm like, I didn't ask for that pen. I didn't. And so I thought, bless God, I'm going back to that bank. So this ain't going to bother me. So I done drove several miles, you know, and I thought, well, I'll carry it back later. And I thought, no, I'll forget later. Do it now. Do it now so I can go to sleep tonight and the devil can't do nothing. So I went back to the bank, walking there. Hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm bringing this pen back I stole. Poof. Well, you can have that. I said, I didn't ask for it, so therefore it wasn't mine. Then she said, well, you can have one. I said, well, thank you. I got the same pen. Now it can't talk to me. I go on, but God, see there, devil? You try that garbage on me, pray God. Now I got me a pen anyhow. I didn't have to steal it. Well, I wasn't intentionally stealing it, but you see what I'm saying. I didn't ask for it. Praise God. See, Satan cannot take advantage of you anytime he wants to. You need to leave here tonight. You need to go home. And when you go to bed and you go to sleep, you need your mind not filled with your problems, not filled with your work situation, your kid's situation, or all of your emotional stuff. Get your mind on the Lord. Let your thinking, let your consciousness soak up the things of God while you are going to sleep. I pray over my grandkids, you know, because they have, sometimes used to, they'd have nightmares and all that stuff. They're thinking they are and believing they are. So I started quoting the word over them. Thank you, Father. Tonight you give your beloved kids right here sweet sleep, good dreams. They're going to sleep all night and they're going to feel good. And they're going, you know, when they're going to school, and they're going to learn in school and you're in school helping. What am I doing? I'm filling their mind where Satan's been flooding it with other stuff. Because I can't go teach them what I'm telling you right now and them understand that process. But that process works. Hallelujah. And so, you need to go home tonight and you need to tell God, God, I know it looks bad in my financial world. If it does, don't be in denial. Faith is not denial. You don't deny something's not happening. Nope, that's not happening to me. It is, man. You just got the letter out of the bank. Nope, this is not happening to me. That's not real faith. Faith is glory to God. Here's God's opportunity right here. Oh, glory to God. No weapons formed against me will prosper. Yes, God, I messed up and I got myself in this fix, God, but I repent, God, and I'm sorry, God, and God, with your help, Lord, I'm coming out of this. You're going to bring me out of this. He is your deliverer. Even if you've made mistakes, He still is your deliverer. He's not looking for a reason. Well, you know, they said, well, we got one more, so they go get David. He's out there taking care of the sheep. You know, he's in the lowest ranking. These other guys have probably been working, I don't know, but they're big and they're army men. I mean, they've been trained for battle and all that. And he said, nah, that's not it, and them's not it, and them's not it. And then he gets down to this David, praise God. I've always thought of God's people that always they was never nothing or going anywhere and they'd get saved, and I've always thought that's the Davids. Now they're somebody. Now they're going somewhere. They're whipping devils. They're killing bears and lions. They're going to the church and they're getting faithful in the church and they're toting groceries and they're waiting on tables. Those that wait on the Lord. they're going playing the drums when they could be out yonder doing something, partying, hanging out. You know, they're coming to church on Wednesday night. They're doing fasting. They're reading their scriptures. They're meditating on the word. These are Davids. Even though you might be a woman, you're that spirit. Well, he gets up there and he said, this is him. And they anointed him, and he wasn't going to be king right then. He was set apart by the anointing. He anointed him and set him apart for the office of kingship. And that promise came to pass. David became king, hallelujah. But you know what, praise God? You know, David had to cooperate with God even when it come time, when it come time to get in there. And I can imagine all those folk, you know, who does he think he is? He's a false prophet. Man, look at us. We can do it. He can't do nothing. But you know what? He had the anointing on him and he killed a bear with his bare hands. I mean, he killed a lion. Come down, got some sheep, man. He just runs. I imagine a lion? Dude, a lion stands up. You probably touch this ceiling right here. And he was just a little teenager, but he had the anointing. See, we're natural people, but we've been endowed with power from God. So we're not just natural people. And then when we take the supernatural, that's why this word works for those who has a heart after God. Because this word, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes down to dividing asunder of spirit and soul, bone and marrow. And it discerns my thoughts for me. The word. Because it is the anointing of God on this word. The Bible says that the word of God was written down by set apart men, holy men, written by, inspired by the same Holy Spirit that we have. And then when we start after God and start putting, look, it's not hard to serve God. Trials are different. People are different. You know, I mean, when God's doors ain't coming in, don't make no difference, praise God. You know, but God, serving God is, I'm serving you if I lose my job. I'm serving you if God's doors don't come in. I'm serving you if the judge don't have favor with me. I'm not going to turn from you. Though the world may fail me, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to bring me out and deliver me. See, you've got to have expectation of God because that is faith for Him to bring you out. Let me tell you, I went, after I got saved, I started wanting to be somebody, you know, instead of a drug dealer. I started having this desire because my daddy had a good name. I don't know if he really served God or not. I didn't see no fruit, but he couldn't even write his name good. Just, you know, he had to quit school and raise his two brothers that had cerebral palsy. His mom died at 24 years old and blah, blah, blah. And his dad was a school teacher, and so he had to quit work and take care of the family. That's what he did, you know. So he didn't have an education, couldn't read the Bible, couldn't write. Couldn't read nothing. He wouldn't go but one grocery store that I know of my whole life because he knew where everything was that he wanted on each aisle because he couldn't read. So he knew where everything was, my dad. And I'd be like, Dad, let's go somewhere else. He'd like, I ain't no need going nowhere else. They got the same stuff over there, but it wasn't that. You know? Because Mom, now she went to Warehouse Groceries up yonder. We was like on vacation once a month. Man, we went to Warehouse Groceries on the other side of Arab. That was like taking a trip to the beach, man. It's a long way up there to us, man. We lived at Cleveland, you know, but oh boy, we couldn't wait to get there. And we wanted Mom to go because Mom would let us get a few things. And Dad, he's one jug of milk and hide it beside my bed. Boys, take it easy on the milk. You know, but after I got saved, I thought, you know, my daddy was respected in Oneonta. He was a respected man from the time I can remember, but he paid his bills on time. He wasn't late on his bills. He believed in paying his bills on time. He believed in being at work on time. Those kind of things, you know, he had. So I thought, man, you know, I really want to be like my daddy in that way. But my dad was on a fixed income. He had ruptured himself down there when them young boy 500-pound bales of cotton when he worked at the cotton gin down there and ruptured himself and had surgery, then had open heart surgery later on and all of that stuff, you know. So he didn't have no finances, you know. He just had, I mean, they got by. And so I thought, you know what, praise God. Now, I came and I went and tried to borrow a weed eater. I wanted to buy a weed eater, and they wouldn't even loan me $90. $90. It was $100. They wouldn't even loan it to me $10 if I paid $90. That's how good my credit was. And I had long hair. I say long hair. Nothing wrong with that. I wish I had it now. I love it. I short shag. That's the way I was. And boy, I mean, I'm decked, you know. I thought it was anyhow. Probably wasn't. But anyhow, I got saved and I started thinking, you know, I mean, I'd always heard, you know, that you'll never go nowhere and be nothing. There's too many of y'all. Y'all are at a disadvantage and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'd heard that stuff, you know, and I felt like Blount County, you know, there's nothing here and blah, 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 you know. But God was here in Blount County. And He had knocked on my heart up here at the river several times, you know, somebody going down on the riverbank. Some of y'all may need to go fishing, preaching. Somebody down on the riverbank that I wouldn't give my heart to the Lord. But anyhow, I got saved and I come across that scripture in Psalms over. It says a good name is rather to be chosen than money. Fine gold and silver. And I thought, I want a good name, Lord. I want to be respected like my dad and the people. I never heard nobody talk bad about my dad in his latter years. He was something else in his, he was a moonshine runner. That same spirit trying to come on me selling pot, selling marijuana, you know. And the law couldn't, he had a hearse. I never seen it, but this is, you know, a little before my time, back in the 40s and 50s. He was born in 27. And so he had a hearse. I mean, if I was going to haul moonshine, I'm not getting a hearse. There ain't no way. They know you. Hauling moonshine in a hearse, you know. But anyways, I thought, you know, Lord, I want a good name. He said, well, then you're going to have to believe me for it. He said, you're going to have to believe that I can give you a good name. Well, I thought, well, the Bible says it's God's will. You know, faith begins where the will of God. And I thought, if he didn't want me to have one, he wouldn't have said it in this Bible. And so I started believing God for a good name, you know, a good name. And I started believing God, I will have good credit. You can't get nothing if you ain't got credit. Well, you can now. I mean, Teresa's got a higher credit score than me, and she don't even got a job. As far as a job working and getting paid, she don't have a 40-hour-a-week paying job that they turn in her credit score and all that. So let me just clear that up. She works more than a lot of me, probably, hours at church and different things. But what I'm saying is she's got a higher credit score. She's got a better name than I do and don't have to have a job that I just explained. That's the glory of God to me, you know. And so, you know, go on, you know, in a few years, you know, and tithing and sowing. I'm breaking the back of the devil tithing, and I don't even really know it. I'm destroying poverty in my life, and I don't really know it. I don't even know that it's happening. You don't have to know how you're killing the devil. Just do the word. Be a doer of the word of God, and then you are putting him to flight because you are submitted to God. You are submitted to God's authority, and you're automatically resisting him. You're pushing your faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 over there, it says, take above all the armor of God, above all of them that we put on. Put on the whole armor of God. Above all of them, it says, take the shield of faith that quenches all of those fiery darts of the devil. What that means, see, faith is a protector. Faith is a shield. Faith surrounds you. It surrounds you, and the enemy can't get through that shield. The Bible says we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb that's already been shed for us and our words, our testimony. I've told Satan back yonder when he tried to bother me, you know, just he'll constantly do it to you till you come into that place. You're not gonna battle with him. You're done with him. Once you come to that place, he's like, man. He come try to come up, bing. What's that? That's that faith stuff. That's that faith stuff. Well, you know what? Today, I can go in anywhere and drive off anything I want anytime I want it. I just don't want it because I'm so fulfilled in believing him. I got addicted to believing God. That's a good addiction. When I believe in God, I'm excited because I know something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something happened. He's going to turn it around. He'll turn it around. Turn it around. There's a song, turn it around. You know, when you're believing God, you ain't got time for all this stuff. You ain't got time. You know, all this, you'll be like, no, that's just trying to distract me. But God, I'm going to believe God, you know. Praise God. Something's happening. God's going to do this. God's going to do that. I mean, I went after God wanted me to go to the jails, and I knew he wanted me to go to the jails and preach. I was on the roof with some people, one of them was one of my brothers, you know, and they've been saved a long time, you know, and I've been saved a couple, 3 weeks or maybe a month or so, and I'm all excited. Boy, I get up there, and I'm like, glory to God. I said, God's put it in here that he gonna let me go to the jails and preach. And one of them said, well, God had used me before he'd use you. I mean, I've been saved, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I left there and I thought, oh, that's probably just me. That's just me. And on the inside, God said, don't quit. Look, you know what? I went to the jails, baby. I took them to the jails. I took my brothers to the jails. They went with me to preach, man. I'm like, glory to God, I'm not going to say nothing. Here I am, praise God. God said he'd do it. Well, you know, I went down. I had such a bad reputation in Blount County. I went down there. God, we're going down the road one day, and God spoke to me, and God said, I want you to go to the jails and preach. Now, I've been locked up down there several times, you know. And a lot of my brothers been down there. One of them halfway lived down there. The probation, my Danny Hicks was his name. I told my brother, I told him, because he's going every weekend, you know, and I told him, I said, he's your daddy, I reckon. You got to go see him, the probation officer. But you know what, brother God? I mean, God, you know, and so I'm go down the road, and I was at work, my hair all messed up, you know, and all that, you know, and God just told me to go, and I told my brother, I said, hey, man, I said, let's go through Oneonta. I said, take me down there to the jail. He said, what's it going to do down there? I said, God said, I'm going to preach in the jail. He said, well, praise God. So I go down there and go in there, and I walk in there, and I said, who do I need to see? He said, what you need there, son? You know how they are. What do you need there, Weston? Well, God told me I'm going to come to the jail and preach. He said, do what? I said, God said I'm going to come down here and preach, man. I mean, who do I need to see? Hold on a minute. You can feel it. You? Are you serious? Son, I put you in jail back here. The jailer, you know. Been there forever. Anyhow, he comes back. He goes, I guess, talk to the sheriff or whoever it was. Well, the sheriff comes out, you know. He said, are you a preacher? Oh, yes, sir, I am. God called me. That's what I didn't know you're supposed to have all these credentials, man, and, you know, go to college and go, you know, and all that, you know. All I knew was, but God, well, you know what, praise God, he gave me a stack of papers about like this. Made it impossible. And I started out them doors, and I felt discouraged. See, when things are happening in your life and you feel discouraged, it's not a time to quit. It's not a time. And God spoke to me on the inside. He said, how bad did you want it? I said, Lord, I want it. I'm excited. I want to go down here and preach, you know. I want to get them saved. I want to offer them what I've got, you know. See, but if you ain't walking in what you got when you got saved, you ain't got no joy. You got the mully grubs. Nobody, no. Don't get into all of that. Don't get into all that. The Bible says the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is your strength. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. He said, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Luke 9:23 says, all things are possible to you if you believe. I believed that I would have a good name. And God opened doors of opportunity and gave me opportunity and brought the money in when I didn't have the money to pay my bills where I could pay my bills on time, pay them on time, believe to pay them on time. When you ain't got enough, believe to pay them on time. Don't ever be late. I have to thank God for Teresa. She was the major one on that because I have money to pay the bills, and I don't want to pay them because I don't want that money go. And Teresa's like, I don't care if we ain't got no money. Well, God wants us to pay these bills, you know. Because now I'm thinking, now I'm trying to work contrary to good names rather than be chosen. Well, you know, I got to grow where she's at. She's seeing all of these bills, and she wants the bills paid. Faye ain't nothing left. I mean, that's godly. That's God. Well, you know what? Praise God, because he's going to bring you to a place to where you ain't got to wonder if you're going to have all the bill money. You're going to have more than enough. I mean, you're going to be able to help somebody buy them a car, give them a house, you know, give them boats, give them cows. I've given cows away already. The Bible says, you know, take the first fruits. I gave a calf and a cow away, praise the Lord. Why? The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, breath. But you know what? I went to Teresa one time, well, I like $1,000. I'd want my cows. I didn't have the money to get my cows, but I'm believing God for my cows. I go build the fence like there's cows in there. A guy calls me, I heard you might need some hay for your cows. And I thought, I ain't got none yet. I'm not even finished with the fence. I said, yeah, I do. How many can you haul over here? He said, I'm bringing about 7 or 8. I said, yeah, I need them. Just right whenever you want to bring them. Bring them on for my cows. I didn't have no cows. Well, what does the Bible say? Say it like it is. Call it like it is, brother. No, it says calling those things that be not as though they already were. As they were. You call yourself blessed. You call yourself a major blessing. You call yourself the head, not the tail. You call yourself healed when you're not in the natural. You call yourself that. You are the voice in your future. You hear what God's saying, and you know what? It's the word that God gives you that works. But if you work with God, God will be giving you word all the time. He'll bring that word up, you know, and don't just go, whoo, I got goosebumps. Take them goosebumps and shake them off and take that word and say, glory to God, we're going to be doers. Because the goosebumps leaves. The goosebumps leaves and then the bill paying comes. There ain't no goosebumps in that. But now there's goosebumps in it. Because now I got more than enough to pay my bills and some left over and plenty to and believe in God. See, he said over there after that we've went through for a while. After you're in that trial for a while and you have been vigilant, you have been successful in staying in a right spirit, you're going to see this trial through to your advantage. You're believing God. Once you do that a while, he said he will settle you. That means, I thought about it this way, you know. Okay, I've been living over there for 15 years, and I believe God for my block wall, didn't have it, and I've told you all the stories. Believe God for a metal roof, and praise God, got a metal roof, you know, and had more than enough. Believe God for windows, you know, because it had the 70s windows. We put new windows in there. And I mean, over the years, we believed God for what we wanted. I believed God for a bigger back porch, had a little bitty one. Got one all the way across with a roof on it, praise God. All of this came by believing God, not because I own my own business. My business failed me a long time ago. But God's word don't fail you. God don't fail you, praise God. He will not let you down. I don't care if unexpected. That's when Satan tries to take advantage of God's people. When unexpected circumstances or feelings or emotions or things happen in their life that is not favorable, then he tries to jump on that bandwagon like he did Jesus in the wilderness. I mean, Jesus was fasting. I mean, here he is in the wilderness. Hot out there, secluded, nobody around, you know, a desert place. And I mean, he's fasting. He's led out there by the Holy Spirit. How many knows us problem solvers? The Holy Spirit leads us into where trouble. He don't lead us where we're in trouble, but he leads us where trouble's at because we are problem solvers. And that's why we got to know the Word of God. He told Timothy, he said, study this Word. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Don't just take one scripture and make a doctrine. Rightly divide the word of God that you may have an answer to give to those who need. Well, you know what? I went through all of that paperwork and I thought, you know what? This is what it means. I didn't even know what fight meant. But 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. I believe God wants me to go. That's faith. You believe God wants you healed, you got faith. You already got it. If you believe God wants you well and not oppressed, you've already got faith. That faith gives you a knowing what God wants. It helps you know what God wants. Well, I went on and prayed God, and you know what? I carried those papers back down there, and I said, the sheriff in? I will give it to you. I said, no, man, let me see the sheriff. I want to see the sheriff. Used to, the sheriff's the last one you want to see, you know. But I wanted to see the sheriff, you know. And, well, the Bible says the righteous are as bold. I was bold in what I was doing. I mean, I'm like, I'm going. I'm going to get in here. I mean, it's just a matter of time, you know. And so, anyways, sheriff come out there. He said, son, he said, you want to preach in the jail? I said, yes, sir. I said, God's called me, actually. You know, I said, I want to win these people to Jesus. Like that, you know. He let me in. He said, when you want to start? He said, you can come on Thursday night. And I said, Thursday night? I said, I want to come Thursday. Can I come Thursday? Yes, sir, you can come on. You just come on. Everybody going to know it. Well, it wasn't too long after that. I went 3 years, started the church up here, and I started feeling a desire to go back to the jail, you know. And I thought, go back to the jail. Before I could even say anything at church, one of the people in the church was a jailer. She was going to work down there, And she went into work, and there was my poster on the window. Scotty Weston, don't let him in. I thought, dadgummit, I hadn't even said nothing to him yet. Praise God, the devil knew it. The devil knew it, that I'd said it to Teresa. You know, I believe the Lord wants me to go back to jail. And then I thought, no weapons. See, you got to come against those things that you know are coming against you that is the will of God. Don't just sit back and say, well, it's all up to God. No, God has done it, and God has given you His anointing and His Spirit and His Word, and He give you a voice like He's got. And He wants you to voice. Well, you know what? I went back to the jail again. I thought, you know what, devil? I told the devil I left, and I didn't cry there. What's wrong with these people? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, just because they didn't want me in there don't mean God can't get you in there. Right? Come on, somebody's God, ain't he? He's a big God. He opens doors that no man can shut. Shuts doors that no man can open, praise God. And that's what I was doing. I thought, God, you're opening these doors for me, and I'm not gonna get in unbelief where Satan can stop it. There's nothing can stop faith. There's nothing can stop it in your life. So don't let that enemy control you. I told Travis the other day, you know, I mean, some people put pressure on you in business and blah, 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 you know, and all that stuff, you know. And I told Travis the other day going down the road, I said, I'm not going to be controlled by nothing but the Holy Spirit. You're not going to control me with fear. He's not going to control me with anger. I don't get mad. Y'all don't get mad. Make your mind up. Nobody, Travis just told me the other day, he said, you know, doing something, he said, I had this saying, so you're trying to make me mad. He said, and I caught my words, I started thinking about my words, he said, and I'm changing them. Nothing can make me mad. Change your words, change your thinking. If you don't, somebody going to try to make you mad. They going to shoot a bird. They going to get the four-way and all of them on their phone. They going to be at Walmart and they going to drag out all of them tickets or coupons they've been saving for 18 years and got four buggies full back through there and everybody else is full and you got to sit there. But if nobody can make you mad, a coupon spender can't. You're like, glory to God, endurance is one of my fruits. Hallelujah. Glory to God, anybody out and say something, pray for while I'm here. I got plenty of time. You know, instead of being anxious and got to get out of here, what are you in a hurry for, the couch? You know, people can upset me in garage doors if I let them. I got one that we subbed for back last year. I'm at the end. And I told Travis, I said, you better go in there. I said, because if I go in there, we leaving here. Putting major pressure on me. So the guy says, well, maybe, I mean, if you can't get to him, maybe I need to get somebody else. And I just bluntly told him, that's what I think you need to do. I said, I just think you need to get somebody else. Well, I'm not going to be controlled by fear. I'm not going to be controlled by things come in and you're under pressure and you putting your pressure on me. Don't let people put their pressure on you. Don't let them do it, praise God. And I'm talking about being right about it, you know. And you know what, praise God? And so I made up my mind. I told Satan, I said, you know what, praise God? I'm going to go up. And I told Travis, I said, I'm going to go up first of the year. Now I'm finna go up on you. You know, Travis, that was October last year, I guess. And Travis, it was bothering him. He wants to go up right now. I mean, right now, you know. Doing it too cheap anyways. And been doing America for a long time. And so I thought, you know what? This pressure is going to cost somebody. So I told Travis, I said, well, maybe you're right. Fix that thing up and go up to this and this and this on this and this. I said, make that and go ahead and send it to him. Go ahead and email it. So we was on the job the other day, and I'm looking at the pay and everything. I'm like, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah, that's pretty good. And I told Travis, I said, that pressure cost him. I said, that pressure from the enemy threw him, because this man's lost, this threw him, got you a raise, son. So See, when you stand in faith and it's evil trying to move you in the wrong way, and you stand still and you're not moved and you don't. And I told Travis, I said, see, if Satan could have got me angry, it would have cost you a lot of money. See, anger and wrong choices cost you. They will cost you. Satan knows that. That's why he wants you upset. That's why I want you mad at your ex-husband. I want you mad at your ex-wife, your ex-girlfriend, or the last 10. You know, you can't afford to keep all that garbage. That's garbage. Put it in a garbage bag by faith. Put it in there, casting all of your care over on the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he goes on and says, it's cause your adversary, be sober. Well, you don't know what they've done with me. Get off of all of that. We've all been done wrong. Every one of us has been done wrong. I could ask you to raise your hand, and every one of you can tell you at least 4, 5, 10, 15, if you've been here over 9 years, 20 times, that you have been hurt by somebody. We understand. But you know what? That's not what defines you. The things that's happened to you in your past don't define you. I'm trying to repent one day about something years ago, you know, and I thought, man, I wish I hadn't done Teresa like that, you know, and blah, 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 you know, and the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, well, Lord, I'm trying to tell you I'm sorry. He said, I done forgive you 30 years ago for that. So why are you bringing that up? I done healed you from that. Because you asked me then to forgive you, and you asked people to forgive you, and you told them you were sorry that you treated them that way and did them that way. And he said, I didn't throw that in the sea of forgiveness. He said, your adversary, the accuser of the brethren, is bringing this up to you to get you off of going forward and the church going up and under a greater anointing and people coming in and lives being changed. So don't you be distracted by your circumstances. Take the Word of God, go home tonight. When you go to bed, you tell God, thank you, Lord, you daily load me up. Find where it's at in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. Study. Dig in there. You can take your phone and say, what's the Greek meaning of poof? And it goes poof. And I'm like, glory to God, it used to take me 30 minutes to go find something like that, man. You know, technology, God made it easy for me, praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, go forward. I'm talking about, praise God, you coming out. Believe you're coming out. Believe God is bringing you out. Don't try to understand how He's going to do it. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Say, God, I don't understand. I don't have to. I'm just going to trust You because You are God and You know my now. You know what I'm in. You know what I'm facing and You know how to bring me out. If He can bring me and Teresa out to where we are, I believe there ain't nobody on this planet that God's not big enough to move for. I believe that, praise God. Praise God. So stay on the fire line. Invite somebody to church. He's laying hands on the sick over there. I told him, I said, you're operating Mark 16, 17. I said, you're under that anointing, laying hands on them old people, praise God. He'll renew their strength, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we just